Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. And of course, that sometimes means that we've got to talk about the kingdoms of the world. And the kingdoms of the world have been busy for the last century or two, getting more and more of the people devoured into a system of bondage. They don't think they're in bondage. They think they're free. They think they have rights that are still intact. Those rights do exist, but somebody has the right to decide what they will do, how much they will do, when they will do it, etc., etc., etc. And people talk about inalienable rights like you cannot lose them. Well, you can lose them to obligations. There are only so many hours in a day, and if you have obligations that you have to fulfill, and those obligations are enforceable in law, then you will be busy fulfilling those obligations and not exercising your rights. You see, that's the way it works, is that if you create contractual obligations, you will have to meet those obligations and then in your spare time enjoy your rights. If you give someone else the power to decide for you what you're going to do, and then you go into debt in order to fulfill that obligation, you're bound. This is the way courts work. This is the way governments work. They work by contract. Contract makes the law. And we're going to look at that. Now, we think that laws are made like House Bill 421. The health framework legislation is passed. It will establish a one-size-fits-all approach to sex education and remove local community control over choosing appropriate curriculum. People say, well, wait a minute, they're our schools. No, they're not. The schools are funded by the federal government, and the federal government doesn't belong to you. You belong to the federal government. Your world has turned upside down while you were busy thinking you were saved and singing in your churches. You have gone back into the bondage of Egypt more so than you were in Egypt. It's worse with you. The dog has returned to the vomit, the pig to its mire, and now you're back in bondage again. Just as an example, a 16-year-old girl is criminally charged in Florida for taking toilet bowl cleaner and aluminum foil and putting them in an 8-ounce container where the lid actually popped off the container when it began to produce smoke. And it's an age-old smoke bomb. It's been used in chem labs for years and years. They don't do it inside the building. And she didn't do it inside the building. She did it outside. She wanted to see what would happen. She's studying chemistry, and she was wondering what was going to happen. She's now being criminally charged for setting off a bomb. It was only an 8-ounce container. It was only a little bit of smoke. It was household aluminum foil and toilet bowl cleaner. Big deal. I mean, are we going to criminally charge with a felony everybody who's ever dropped a cherry bomb in a toilet at a school? They're pranks. Although in this case, the girl was actually doing a science experiment. She did it outside because she didn't want to get smoke in the classroom. And she did it on her own time because she was curious. But the insanity, they make a rule, and your employees at the school follow these rules mindlessly, like religious zealots with no conscience. We heard this story not too long ago of the boy who was eating his Pop-Tart for breakfast at school, which is a crime in my personal opinion in itself, that you're feeding Pop-Tarts to children because they're terrible for them, full of sugar, full of processed foods. It's just terrible. It's setting them on a road to eating junk foods, in my opinion. But he chewed it. He was trying to make a mountain, and it kind of looked like a gun. It's a Pop-Tart. Kind of looked like a gun because he chewed away certain parts. He was suspended. He's 6 years old. He was suspended from school. What kind of mindless idiots are running your school? Those are the people you're putting your children in the hands of. People with absolutely void of common sense. Absolutely void of common sense. The fact that this even goes beyond a 5-minute discussion in the school itself. The fact that it even comes up with a 6-year-old child. He didn't even point it at anybody and make a noise like bang bang. I mean, kids are being suspended for drawing a picture. What happened to free speech? And these are the stories that come to the surface. You've turned your children over to mindless idiots, bureaucratic stumble bums. You should get your kids out of public school. But anyway, let's go on. Pentagon confirms it will prosecute service members who share their Christian faith. Well, of course, I consider most people's Christian faith to be really in the toilet. I mean, it really has nothing to do with Christ. It is completely void of this common sense, too. I mean, it's just as ignorant and foolish as these people that you've asked and are paying to teach your children nonsense and lies. Read our article on schools to fools, schools as tools. Your children aren't learning history. Your children, they don't even have history class anymore. They have social studies. Actually, I think they're naming it something else even more remote now. And your Christian churches, they're the culprit. They're the culprit in this because they haven't been teaching the morality of Christ, the teachings of Christ. They've been teaching all kinds of other doctrines and philosophies. I mean, people are arguing, was it a stake? Was it a cross? You know, are we saved by faith? Are we saved by works? There isn't even any debate there. Not those who say, but those who do. But yet you can't do enough, so therefore you are saved by faith. But if you aren't even doing the basics, then you probably don't even believe in Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. But anyway, servicemen who share their Christian faith, according to the Obama administration, who happens to be the president of this United States at this particular time, supposedly, which has nothing to do with me, but it has to do with you. His administration, Pentagon appointees have recently met with anti-Christian extremists to develop a court-martial procedure to punish Christians in the military who express or share their faith. The Military Religious Freedom Foundation says Christians, including chaplains sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in the military, are guilty of treason and committing an act of, quote, spiritual rape. How can they be spiritual rape? They also assert that Christians sharing their faith in the military are enemies of the Constitution. Who do you think would battle against these ideas? Men like Patrick Henry? Men like George Washington? They would be shocked. I tell you, they'd be doing more than chewing their Pop-Tarts into the shape of a gun. I mean, what was this whole Patrick Henry, give me liberty, give me death speech? Was because the government was requiring a license to preach the gospel. You had to ask permission of the government to preach the gospel, and a man was arrested because he refused to get a license to preach because he said he had an inalienable right to preach the gospel. And he was whipped until you could actually see the bones on his rib cage through his skin. He was whipped in the public square because they had already been thrown in prison for some time into a pit and he wouldn't repent. And he refused to get a license to preach. What minister today in America does not get a license to preach from the state to perform sacraments like holy matrimony? They don't even perform holy matrimony anymore. They work as agents of the state. You have progressively gone away from the very beliefs that early Americans fought and died for, early Christians were persecuted for. You are doing the absolute antithesis of what Christ said. The absolute antithesis of what Christ said. And you are claiming to be saved because you believe in Jesus. You don't even know Jesus. You don't even have the slightest idea what he was talking about. And I blame it on your churches. They're in absolute horrible apostasy. And there is going to be recompense. Now, yesterday we sent out our Kingdom newsletter. And from now on, I think we're going to be, I can't meet the schedule of writing newsletters and being on the radio for 7-8 hours a week and recording radio programs for rebroadcast and on other stations, because we would like to syndicate this station, syndicate this program, get it out to more and more people so that you can begin to actually hear the gospel for a change. And so we're going to put out our newsletter on our preparingyou.com website. Preparingyou.com website. And it's constructed by the people, for the people, and of the people. It's a wiki site, so therefore you can write articles, you can become an author and write articles, you can put on pages on all kinds of topics to prepare people to actually seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because the unrighteous mammon that you have all become a part of, you've all become sureties for debt because of your covetousness. And you're going to need to learn some skills. And you're going to need to learn them fast. Why? Because this system will absolutely and utterly collapse. And the entire system that you are so dependent on will be destroyed. I mean, it could be destroyed in the twinkling of an eye. You've created this technological wonder, but don't be too proud of this technological wonder that you've created, because the power of the force can destroy it. I'm kind of paraphrasing Darth Vader there. Because that's what you're really up against, is this evil Darth Vader in the world and the evil in your own hearts. And you need to repent. You are in terrible, terrible, terrible need of repentance to actually accept Jesus Christ, the consciousness of Christ, the Spirit of Christ. You need to accept that. And if you did, you wouldn't have been doing the ridiculous stuff that you've been doing and giving power to the monsters that you've been giving power to. And you don't even know how you've been doing it, because you're absolutely ignorant. And we're going to talk about that the next couple hours. In Luke 21:25, Jesus says, this guy out there walking around in the desert with sandals, you know, and he's growing his hair long because he took the vow of the Nazarite, you know, so he's not even cutting his hair. And he's going around and he's doing these miracles and stuff like that, but a lot of people think he's a fraud. And he's talking about stuff that makes people so mad they want to throw him over a cliff. He comes up and says in Luke 21:25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And the word there for stars includes the planets. And upon the earth, distress of nation. And that word distress, it's a very interesting word. We could do a whole study on it. It has to do with contracting of nations. Contracting. Like contract. Like connecting of nations. With perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. Now, that statement was actually metaphoric, as well as there will be actually a geocentric model of the whole thing taking place. And right now, actually, on the way towards Earth is a solar flare headed towards Earth. I was actually going to take a look today and see what the satellites are saying concerning the solar flare. I'm going to zip over to it. It's not a very big one. It's an M1.1 class flare, and going to probably strike the Earth and increase radiation. We were struck a couple weeks ago, and a lot of people complained that there was a great deal of sunburn going on at the time. As a matter of fact, there was actually another flare that just went off yesterday. I'm not sure if it's Earth-facing or not. We were hit 3 days ago, and radiation levels went up into the yellow. And we're expected to be hit sometime today. And there's another CME that was actually quite large, about M8, but not even X-class. And a number of years ago, they've added another class. They haven't even named it, but it's a mega flare class. X used to be the highest class of flare that they registered, and then they saw one that went way off the scales, even beyond X-class flare. So they had to add another whole section to the chart. And anyway, these flares can hit the Earth and cause magnetic storms, and they cancel polar flights, and it interferes with radio broadcasts, and it does a lot of things like that. But they, if you get into the X-class or megaflare category, and we've been hit by those back in 1885, and it knocked out telegraph wires. It actually melted telegraph wires, because the wires traveling over the Earth's surface absorbed the electrical charges that came into the atmosphere, and it knocked out the telegraph communication. If one of those flares hit today, you would not be hearing this radio broadcast anymore. It would knock out radios, it would knock out telephones, it would knock out satellites, it would knock out your TV would go off. Oh my gosh, you wouldn't be able to watch TV. You know, it could have unbelievable devastating. Whenever these solar flares are hitting the Earth, and they do on a regular basis, but the really big ones come in. There's an alert on all your pipelines, gas lines, oil lines, you know, oil lines up in Alaska, because they're all computer run, and they're running across the surface of the Earth, and they can absorb these electrons, and it can burn out the computer chips that are operating the pumps and maintaining the temperature. And you could have one of the massive oil spills, cut off oil, fuel prices could zoom to, you know, $50 a gallon. Crops would not get harvested because people don't keep enough oil and gas on their farms to get them all the way through the season, because they're all operating on borrowed money. It could, and the power could literally be knocked out for the whole sunlit side of the Earth for anywhere between 6 days and 6 months. And it actually is known to fuse generators, these huge, giant, you know, building-sized generators, which we don't have extra ones in stock. And we don't even make them here in this country anymore. They're made in China. So guess what? You're not going to get one tomorrow. We live in an extremely precarious society. But the problem isn't just the technological dependence that we are now under, but the problem is that we have lost the secret of liberty in the world today. People don't know what it means to be at liberty, to have the right to choose what you're going to do today, what you're going to eat, what you're going to work at, what you're going to contribute to, what you're going to support. You don't have those rights anymore. You don't have access to those rights anymore. You're in bondage. I mean, Egypt, what was the bondage of Egypt? 20% of everything you earn had to go to the government. You had to work 20% of your year or your day, every day, for the government. And they took care of your welfare in time of need. And all the gold and silver was in the treasury of the government. And you used something else. It was little clay scarabs and other trade items, carved trade items that would be used as money, as if it was money. It's not real money, but they use it as if it was money. And it was issued by the temples, which were government buildings. And there was grain stored, supposedly for your benefit, in the case of, famine. And we used to have 7 years' supply of grain stored on the farms in this country for an emergency. We don't have that anymore. You don't have that. As a matter of fact, worldwide, because grain moves by huge ships worldwide. Of course, one of those major CMEs, a lot of those ships would become, they wouldn't even have navigational systems anymore on board. But there's secondary geomagnetic disturbances. And we'll talk a little bit about that in the second half of the show, what that all can mean. But really, we want to get to the crux of what is the real problem here that is facing the world today? Why are we in the kind of trouble that we are really on the verge of just absolute, total, scary, biblical, end-of-the-world kind of trouble? Economically, morally, spiritually, we are bankrupt as a nation, as a people, as a world, as a planet. We are morally bankrupt. But there are some people. The beautiful thing about morality is that all it requires in order to become wealthy again in the realm of morality is that you can reverse everything simply by repenting. Repenting and turning around. And the glory of Christ, what Christ did, can change and turn the whole world back right side up again if you repent. But you must repent and seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Those are the instructions. John the Baptist gave them. Jesus gave them. Those are the instructions. Repent. That means you have to turn around. Not just say you believe in Jesus and say, Lord, Lord. But you have to actually physically repent. Now, your repenting is not enough. Turning around and going the other way, you couldn't do enough. So you still are saved by grace. But if you haven't repented, if you haven't changed your ways, if you haven't turned toward Christ and His ways, then you're not saved. No matter what strong delusion you have stuffed into your brain and emotionally grappled to hold on to, you're not saved. That's just it. You're just under a strong delusion. And we're going to show you the process of your bondage and how you've rejected the perfect law of liberty and return to the mire when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. Be right back. Thank you.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. And we're talking about a lot of things in the kingdom. And I said we'd talk a little bit more about this geocentric model. You know, cosmic rays are part of the Earth's inner heating equation. They are likely responsible for more or less the continuous core mantle heating that keeps the Earth's dynamic even during the quietest times of solar activity. And this is essential. I mean, you have to have this core and the currents of magma in the Earth in order to maintain this magnetic field that we see around the Earth, which makes life possible upon the Earth. Without that magnetic field, the energies from the sun would come in and you'd all be radiated. Plants would start to die. People would start to die. it would just be absolutely devastating. And these cosmic rays and solar neutrinos likely excite radioactive elements. Even people talk about cold fusion reactions and possibly even a small neutron core in the Earth itself. There's an expanding Earth theory, which it actually makes a great deal of sense based on a lot of the discoveries that some scientists are willing to admit to today. A lot of scientists, in order to fit what we are seeing take place into their what they learned in college, they have to call lots of things phenomena because it doesn't fit. But the reality is this electromagnetic currents of the universe, and that the part that they play in creation. Look up Thunderbolt, Google it, watch some of their videos, and you'll learn a lot more about physics of the Earth and the Moon and the stars that Jesus was talking about than you will learn by going studying old physics books that really have it wrong. But anyway, this heating in the core, they actually did a test recently, and they've come to a conclusion that where they thought the core was 5,000 degrees at the center core, they now are suspecting that it's 6,000 degrees. Well, there is a small debate going on as to whether it used to be 5,000 degrees and it's now heated up. They don't know. But in the expanding Earth theory, the reality is that they believe that every so often the core of the Earth becomes very active, and these currents in just below the mantle become very active, and the hot spots like Vesuvius and Hawaiian Islands and some of the other islands off the coast of the Madagascar begin to become very active. And we have seen in the last solar max a lot more activity, more volcanic activity, and there's over 24 volcanoes going off under the ocean, and this increase in activity will cause eventually more earthquakes. But this all goes through cycles, so you have more activity, then you have less activity, then you have more activity. But there appears to be, over a longer range in time, huge amounts of activity where the Earth becomes, just all the way around the Earth, becomes extremely active and then settles down into a relatively inactive period for, you know, thousands of years. And it's during those really active times that a lot of the mountains are created. There are evidently floods that take place. Their whole plains, where they know that there was some sort of giant flood, because they find all these bones of animals that were just wiped off the face of the Earth and buried in layers and layers of mud. And so they know that there have been extremely active times. They look at Mars and they see these huge canyons carved out, but they know it wasn't water, and it appears that it was actually lightning bolts, interplanetary lightning bolts that came from some object and struck the planet Mars, carving out these huge canyons. And the studies, which you can also see at Thunderbolt, bear this out. And the similarities and the realities are just amazing. So the point is that we go through huge geological and even astronomical changes in the universe from time to time, and these are based on, you know, basic principles, and survival on the planet will become hard even if you lived in a primitive society. If you live in the society that we live in today, absolutely dependent upon this, you know, electricity and the flow of fuel and oil, which is dependent upon electricity and refrigeration and huge factories to process your food. I mean, the good news is that when all this breaks down, you're not going to be eating that junk food anymore. Unfortunately, you're not going to be eating anything else anymore, but at least you won't be eating all that processed food because you won't be able to process it because it'll be just total planetary blackout. And then, of course, you know, wherever this blackout takes place, the other side will become in jeopardy because there will be the people escaping from the side that has become almost uninhabitable because all their equipment is broke down will now try to move over to other areas. And it's just, we live in a very fine-tuned machine. When I fly over this country, I look down and I see all these cities and the roads and the street lights and the factories and the cars and the trucks and the trains all moving goods and services about to create this huge cornucopia of food and tools and resources. Could that all come to an end? Could that all stop? I mean, the political machine has certainly thrown a monkey wrench into it by its artificial economy. And millions upon millions of people have lost their homes and lost their life savings and are struggling to make ends meet, while other people are doing really rather well. But of course, because we have created a society in which it is absolutely okay not to care about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself, the fact that some are being very prosperous, others are still forced to eke by and eke out a living, losing, you know, life's work, life's efforts, and being absolutely destituted again and again and again, not to the tune of a few thousand or a few hundred thousand, but to millions upon millions. People are still losing their homes on a regular basis. On a regular basis, people are still giving up their homes. Their homes sitting idle all over while other people are so wealthy that they're building new homes. And the reach between the haves and the have-nots is growing greater and greater. And people are less and less patient about... there's still some really great people in America. And this is really what our message is those people who have repented, do want to go the way of righteousness, do want to do what Christ actually said, do actually love Christ, not this artificial mamby-pamby put-in-hand Christ that most churches put forward, but the actual real Christ and the real message of Christ. They're still around, and they need to come together. But the fact is most of your churches are not really preaching the true message of Christ. And it was Christ who said, look for signs in the sun. And so since I was 5 years old, the first time I saw the sun through a telescope, I've been looking at the sun. And now I have, you know, been graced to see the earth-sun connection. The connection, the power that the sun influences over the electromagnetic currents, the geomagnetic activity, and the geocentric engine of this planet is so connected to the sun, it's staggering to realize. And Christ knew it back then. But there is another connection between us and God's creation and us and God himself. And we have severed that connection. We have gone out of the presence of God because we have chosen to decide for ourselves what is right and wrong, to create for ourselves our own government that exercises authority not only over us but over our neighbors and therefore over us. So much so that we have gone completely the opposite way of Christ. We have gone towards the ways of Nimrod. While professing, while taking the name of the Lord in vain, we actually seek the power and potestas of Nimrod to make our world secure, to protect us, to provide for us, at the expense of our neighbor. We've done this. And how did we do it? By violating the very basic and basic principles of God. Now see, some people think that, you know, if you believe in Jesus, you cannot lose your salvation. If you profess Jesus with your mouth, that you cannot lose your salvation. Which is poppycock. I mean, it's a lie. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. It's not what Christ said. And it's misconstruing what Paul said. It's taking Paul out of context of Paul. It's taking Paul out of the context of Christ. And we have a 22-hour study on Romans, the epistle of Paul to the Romans. And we go through it step by step. And we should go through the commandments. But, you know, basically the commandments are talking about thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the word gods means ruling judges. And it means you shouldn't give anybody else the power to be the ruling judge of your life. You should only give God that power, and by not going out of his presence and going to men like Nimrod and Lamech and Caesar or Pharaoh and making them gods. Making them the ruling judges. Making them your lawmakers. Your lawmaker is God. And he said there should be no other gods, no other lawmakers but him. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Graven, that means that's something you make with your hands. You should not create any institutions. That's a graven image. An institution is something you made. Or a likeness of God or his government. Anything in heaven or above or on earth, beneath, or anything that it moves in the water. Now, they're talking about that, and we have this idea that he's talking about we're not supposed to make a golden calf and all that stuff. We've shown you the golden calf was just a reserve bank. But it was an institution. They're turning over their gold to high priest, and he's making this golden calf. What are they going to use for exchange? Well, they issued something to be used as exchange amongst them, but it only worked amongst them. It didn't work outside of their community. And it bound the people to their community because you had nothing of personal wealth. You had to go to them. The money you were using was issued by them, therefore it was theirs. So you could hold up a coin and say, who issued this coin? Who issued this money? Well, at least back then it was gold. Shortly after that, Rome began to not even issue gold and silver coins. They would keep those, and they issued these other iron coins that were supposed to have value but didn't. And of course, that led to runaway inflation. You're already gone past that stage in this process. Anyway, thou shalt not bow down to them, thyself to them, nor serve them. Well, the gods that you have chosen for yourself that make the laws for you, you're lawmakers, you bow down and serve them all the time. I remember back in 1994, there was a thing that the Republicans did where they were going to have create this contract with America, and they had these basic 10-plank contract with America that they were going to issue, introduce these bills that were going to be voted on, etc., etc. Well, most of them all failed, either died in the Senate or died with negotiations or what have you, but they did pass some of them. The point is that you already have a contract with America. Each of you have contracts with America. You've made all kinds of contracts. You've joined all kinds of agencies and made contracts with those agencies by becoming a part of to their benefit system. And now you have to bow down and serve those systems and pay into those systems because you made agreements with them. Even though the basis of their system is contrary to what Christ said to do, what God said to do, what Moses told us God said to do. So whether you're a Jew or a Muslim or a Christian, doesn't make any difference. You're in violation of the basic precepts if you have anything to do with modern governments, in any country, in any part of the world. you're in violation of the Ten Commandments, and I'll show you that. Now, he talks about that you were not to bow down to serve them. But then he goes on to say, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God in vain. In other words, you're not going to claim Christ and do contrary to what Christ said. You're not going to claim you believe in God and then do contrary to what God said. Right? Because if you did that, then you would be taking his name in vain. You say, I'm doing this in the name of God. I'm making this graven image in the name of God. I'm creating this institution in the name of God, even though I'm going to give this institution the power to make law and rule over me and my neighbor. That's taking the name of the God in vain, because you're saying that you believe in God, but then you do the exact opposite by giving other men the power to make law and to rule over you and decide what is right and what is wrong for you. You see, that's absolutely in violation of all three of the first ten commandments. If you get down and it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And all these born-again Christians go around saying that they're saved, they have taken the name of God in vain. They've taken the name of Christ in vain, because they're doing contrary to what, because he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, but they're not doing it. And we're going to show you that they're not doing it. He talks about remember the Sabbath, and that's a big whole sermon in itself. The Sabbath has to do with working 6 days and taking your day of rest. It has to do with the order of work, then rest. That's what it's talking about. Work, earn the rest, take the rest. So if you're in debt, you've violated the Sabbath, because you owe. You took your rest, now you have to pay back. You see, that's the reverse of the Sabbath. You didn't work 6 days and then take your rest. You took your rest, and now you have to work 6 days to take, like you borrow money to buy a house. You pay on that mortgage for 10 years. You haven't got anything paid off. You've paid more than the value of the house, but nothing's paid off. You're going to have to work another 20 years to get the house paid off. You've already paid for the house in interest, but you're not going to get that. You don't own the house. You got to work because you're in violation of the Sabbath, the principles of the Sabbath. Now, that's completely contrary to what most of you probably have been told, but that's because you have been listening to the apostate churches for generations now. But that's what it's about. Work 6 days. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But on the seventh day, now you get to rest. But you didn't do that. You did the reverse. You did the absolute reverse. And you're in debt. And you've done that in so many different ways. I'm not going to say, oh, that everybody's got a mortgage on the house, a terrible sinner. I'm talking about precepts here. And the fact is, if you were doing all the other commandments like you should be doing, you wouldn't have had to go to a bank and borrow money to buy that house. You guys would all own your houses, and nobody would be losing their houses. You've done so many things wrong that it's an absolute mess. Absolute mess. And it's not going to be solved overnight. You're not going to file some paper and then suddenly everything goes away. No, you're going to have to do some repenting and some serious turning around. Now, honor thy father and thy mother. Now, that's not one of the thou shalt nots. There's about 10 thou shalt nots. But they actually make this a separate commandment in most books. But actually, it's really part of the Sabbath thing. Because if you were honoring your father and your mother, you would have gone to your father and your mother to borrow the money to build your house. Because honoring thy father and thy mother, the word honor there means to fatten, to increase. Your family would be your bank. That's right. Your family would be your bank. And then if you gather together with other souls who are seeking the kingdom of God in congregations, you could go to your congregation if your family was destitute and they would help you out. But instead, you're divided as a community. I mean, you're so far from the kingdom, you can't even see how it could possibly work. But if you start going back, the pieces of the puzzle will start coming together. And of course, thou shalt not kill, which also includes not killing your neighbor's finger. So you can say, well, I didn't kill him, I just cut off his finger. Well, that's all part of that deal. You can't kill your neighbor. You wouldn't be putting insecticides on your crops that might poison somebody someday. Yeah, I have to, otherwise I won't make a lot of money. No, you would stop doing that. We know somebody who went organic, and he says, I almost went bankrupt. He says, because I didn't know what I was doing. He did this before anybody else was doing it years and years ago. And he did it because he actually read the Bible. And he was being made sick by all the herbicides and pesticides that he was using. So he actually went cold turkey off those things. And he says, boy, it was quite a transition. But now they're very, very, very successful and doing great. And they actually have people coming to them learning it. But anyway, so there's a lot of things you can do to kill. You could hire other people to kill for you. And of course, now, you know, we abort millions of babies. We bomb other countries. I mean, killing is just a way of life. You know, when I was a kid, we were watching people napalm villages in Vietnam while we sat there and ate on TV trays. And then I was supposed to go over there and kill gooks myself when I went into the service. Fortunately, I was spared to that, thanks to God. But anyway, so thou shalt not kill, pretty simple. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, that's not just about marriage. That's any kind of adulterating your own body, and adulterating your food supply, adulterating yourselves with all kinds of poisons, adulterating your mind, etc., with false ideas and false beliefs, which is rampant today. Thou shalt not steal. That means that you're not going to actually physically rob somebody. Go in and take away from others. And you shall not bear false witness against thy neighbor. In other words, lie that would damage your neighbor. Gossip. All those things fall under that bearing false witness. You're going to be open and honest in your dealings with people. You're not sneaky and contriving. Now we get into what is kind of a double commandment, because there's two thou shalt nots here. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Now, house doesn't mean, you know, just, you know, where he lives, but his whole household, anything that is thy neighbor's. And it goes on, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor thy manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Well, now this is a very interesting one, because this everybody does. They covet their neighbor's goods. They covet everything that is their neighbor's. And they do this through the socialist state. But somehow or other, they've excused that. And we're going to explain how you've been trapped and snared in our next show on Keys to the Kingdom. And we may even get into how you can get out of that snare, which has to do with repentance. Until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.